the number one reason was that it was easy to do. So once you make it easy for people to do, they'll participate.
This week, we talk with the leading solar utility in the country, and it's not where you'd expect. Listen in to hear how Warren McKenna and his small electric cooperative have gotten nearly 20% of their customers to invest in local renewable energy. I'm John Farrell, and this is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories of successful local renewable energy and exposing the policy and practical barriers to their expansion. Warren, welcome to Local Energy Rules.
Thanks, John.
Well, I would love to start with the big picture here. Farmers Electric Co-op has just about 640 customer members, but has a pretty robust renewable energy commitment, 25% by 2025. Is that comparable to, for example, Minnesota's renewable energy standard that requires utilities to get 25% of their sales from renewable resources by 2025?
It's similar. However, Iowa, there's no mandate of any kind. Our 25-25 is more of a vision, energy vision. A part of that goal is energy efficiency, conservation, energy monitoring, and tracking. So it encompasses a little bit more than renewable energy.
Now, the commitment that you've had on the renewables, and particularly to solar power, is quite impressive. Right now, the Farmers Electric Co-op, if I've got the most recent data, has 331 watts per member on its system, which would be enough to rank number two in the country.
That's correct, and growing. It's probably up a little bit already. And hopefully, by the end of next week, we should have a fairly large project approved. That'll put us over 1,000, actually. That'll be a solar farm that the co-op will actually enter into a purchase power agreement with a third-party provider, and then at the end of 10 years, we will own the project.
There just seems to be so many different ways that Farmers Electric Co-op has supported local solar power. So you've got, in this case, a power purchase agreement where the ownership is going to flip to the cooperative after 10 years. But you have other things like a feed-in tariff and community solar. Could you tell us a little bit about those?
The community solar is a one-acre site we have next to the substation where we sell solar modules to customers and then show the credit on the power bill. A very popular program. We started with an introductory program probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, and it just took off. We introduce a small percentage of modules actually per year, about 40 modules per year, and they sell out within a couple of weeks. It's not our sole line of business, so it's not something we're actively pushing. We just open a window a couple of months a year, and we send something in the bill, and people take advantage of it. So it's very popular.
And then you've also got a feed-in tariff. For those who aren't familiar with that concept, the idea is basically there's a standard contract where I can sell my energy to the utility at a fixed price over a long period of time. Could you explain a little bit about how that's worked in adding solar to the cooperative's electric system?
That too, we started about 4 years ago. We started with an experimental rate of 20 cents for the first 25% of matching usage to generation, and then a net rate after that, and then anything over the monthly usage is at avoided cost of 6 cents. We have about 20 sites out there. Not all take advantage. It's either or a rebate, or you can take advantage of the 20 cent at 25%, and we also have a flat. So like a net rate. We don't do net metering. These are all separately metered installations. We buy the power, we retain the RECs, and then we resell those RECs through our Green Power Project. So it's a little different, somewhat like the value of solar model that Minnesota is using, actually.
For those who aren't familiar, Minnesota is doing a stakeholder process right now to come up with a so-called value of solar, sort of the idea being you set a market price for solar that reflects the way that it can deliver peak power or potentially help offset upgrades to the distribution system if there's enough solar. And the feed-in tariff, of course, that the cooperative is using offers a fixed price for solar that's substantially above what the cost of electricity is for the utility. But like you said, it only is covered for the first 25% of the energy that a customer uses in a given month. Is that correct?
Correct. And the important thing to remember on a feed-in tariff is the fact that it's separately metered. So we buy all and we sell all. We sell through a separate rate, whatever the customer uses, and we buy through a separate rate, whatever the customer generates. So there's two separate rates.
Now, one of the things I saw that was particularly impressive is it seemed like you have as many as 20% of your members who are participating in some of these programs.
All total either through the Green Power Project, so either they participate in the Green Power Project, or they actually own solar on their site, or they own solar in the solar garden.
In the case of Farmers Electric Cooperative, of course, any buyer of electricity, any member, is also a part owner of the system, but it's still impressive that 20% of them are participating above and beyond that standard level of ownership in solar or in green power purchases.
John, we did a survey here just a while back to kind of gauge why people participated in the community solar, and what we found out was, number one, that it was easy to do. Number two was the environment. I don't remember what number three was, but number four, I thought would have been number one, was to keep the money in the community. The number one reason was that it was easy to do. So once you make it easy for people to do, they'll participate.
When I was reading some background about Farmers Electric, it was clear that you have some of your own backup generation, but that you also are buying a lot of power from other utilities for supplying your customers. How much freedom does the cooperative have to develop its own renewable energy or to let its customers produce their own power?
We buy power on the real-time market. 30% of our power is firm. The rest of it comes off the real-time market. So that allows us a lot of flexibility. And a lot of that real-time market power is actually wind in Iowa because of a huge amount of wind. Actually, in the MISO footprint, I think it's closer to 10,000 megawatts. We see a lot of savings in that area as well, and it passes straight on through to us.
Now, I see that you're likely to reach your 25 by 25 goal 9 years early in 2016. What's next for Farmers Electric in terms of renewables? Is there a limit to what you're able to do?
Unfortunately, we will probably have to back off the 20-cent incentive rate. We'll have a flat net style rate once we hit our goals. There's only so much money, basically. We'll just have to reevaluate it as far as the distributed solar goes. We have goals in each area. We have goals, the community solar garden, it could double in size, but we're fast approaching our goal in the site-based or distributed.
Warren, is that a technical limitation or is it more of a cost consideration? And then would there be an opportunity to either reevaluate or would the solar have the potential to keep growing if the costs keep coming down as rapidly as they have been?
I think it's more of a like take a breath and step back and see exactly financially what this is doing. We anticipate quite a bit of demand savings, but until you step back and actually see what it's doing, technically I think we could add more as far as that goes. Maybe, I don't know, you could approach 50%, depends on the circuit loading.
Well, I'll be interested to check back in with you in a few years and see how that check-in went and if you've been able to push up that number higher. I've just been very impressed with what you've accomplished with your members. There are a lot of munis and co-ops, muni meaning municipal utility in Minnesota, I know, that buy as much as 95% of their power on a contract with a generator. And so they seem to be very limited in terms of their ability to pursue renewables since they have to buy so much of that power from someone else. Is that unique to Minnesota? Is that something that other co-ops in Iowa do? How come Farmers has that kind of flexibility that I haven't seen elsewhere?
It's not unique to Minnesota. I think most of the co-ops in Iowa are locked into a G&T or generation transmission co-op and have to take pretty much firm power. A number probably back in 2000, our power group, we started to shift. I know here at Farmers Electric, we installed a 6 megawatt of diesel-fired generation. It's in the, registered in the MISO market. But it gives us a natural hedge in the market at about $300 a megawatt or 30 cents a kilowatt hour. That has been picked up and called on. So it's just worked out. We've moved toward this real-time model, and it's It's really worked.
For people who aren't familiar, of course, MISO being the Midwest Independent System Operator, which is kind of the regional transmission authority for many of the states in the upper Midwest.
Yeah, we assumed some of that risk in the market, but it's really paid off, and knock on wood for now. Part of it's some planning because we did know there was a lot of wind in the region. It's actually held the wholesale market down.
So let me see if I understand that last part. You're saying because of all the wind that's available in Iowa in the Midwest region, it actually keeps the price of electricity down on the wholesale market. But what people do have to pay for is that capacity, sort of the size of the pipe, if you will, delivering energy.
That correct. That's where we've seen the increases. It's been on the transmission side.
And that's where, to some extent, things like solar or like a demand management program where you can cycle a water heater or an air conditioner are particularly useful. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So my last question for you, Warren, if I'm a member of a rural electric cooperative that, isn't doing some of the things that Farmers is doing on renewable energy, what is there that I can do to maybe change that?
Call the co-op, let them know you're interested. I think only 40% or 45% of the co-ops in Iowa actually have net metering. So it's going to take a little bit of pressure, neither that or run for the board. You can do that and affect change that way.
Well, Warren, thank you so much for being on the program. Appreciate you taking the time and, of course, all the great work that you're doing there in Iowa.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
That was ILSR senior researcher John Farrell speaking with Warren McKenna, the manager of one of the leading solar utilities in the country, despite its location in southeastern Iowa. You can learn more about other utility approaches to community solar in our 2010 report, Community Solar Power, Obstacles, and Opportunities, or at ilsr.org. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.